Blog Talk Radio.
You are now connected to the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Taking on 2,000 years of indoctrination, 2 hours at a time.
Sink or swim, deep end information.
Asking questions no one else will.
Parabiblical research, spiritual technology, personal empowerment.
Be your own guru.
Master your own ascension.
Guide your own spirit.
And now, showing you how, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Hi, folks. It's Jeffrey Dardy back with you on the Fresh Daily Show, talking about Goddess Arise. Of course, the Fresh Daily Show is our daily bite-sized version of the Christian Whistleblower Show, which will be aired tonight, 2 hours. Go to jeffreydardy.com, christianwhistleblower.com, to find out where you can hear the full 2-hour show. And then, a few weeks or months down the road, as things work out, it comes onto the Fresh Daily Show, broken down into smaller bite-sized pieces and prepared especially for our folks at the Deprogrammed Radio Network. And we're proud and happy to be affiliated with them. I am Jeffrey Dardy, coming to you from Central Florida on the shores of beautiful Lake Fairview. And we've got some great stuff to talk with you about today on the Fresh Daily Show version of the Christian Whistleblower. We've been talking about, at least yesterday we were talking about, the Apostle Paul and how he went to Ephesus and how he managed to cause a riot of about 20,000 people. And he was in a city that is or was characterized by goddess worship, a city that was actually based upon goddess worship, a city that had a shrine, a temple to the goddess Artemis. That was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And Paul managed to get the whole city in uproar by saying things like, "But I want you to understand that man is ruler of the woman." Things like, "A woman should not be allowed to exercise government over a man." Things like, "Women must be completely silent and obediently do as ordered." I chuckle because I can't believe women still go to church. Is that these things are part of the doctrine. "Wives must be under authority, submission, rank, and control. The husband is the ruler and head of the wife. Women should be stay-at-home housekeepers, subjected under the authority and control of their husbands. In the churches, women should be totally silent. It's not allowed for them to so much as utter a sound, for it's disgraceful for a woman to talk, utter a sound, or even whisper in the congregation." Those are all words by the Apostle Paul. And, you know, I just can't help it, ladies. There's thousands of you listening to the sound of my voice that call yourself Christians, that go to Christian churches. And I guarantee you, all of those words I just read are in the Bible. And all of those churches you go to believe those words, even though they won't talk about those words, they won't address those words, they won't answer your questions about those words. They believe that stuff. Why the hell are you going? Why the hell are you giving them your money? Why the hell are you giving them your time? Why the hell are you gracing them with your presence? I don't understand that. And to add insult to injury, Paul says, "Woman was created for man's account, use, and pleasure." The connotations of sexual ownership are unmistakable. A woman, Paul says, ought to have a symbol of authority on her head, a symbol of power, authority, ownership, and jurisdiction. Paul is saying that a woman should be branded like a cow How's that make you feel, ladies? The Apostle Paul says women should be branded like cattle, showing that you're the property of a specific man. I wonder how John Tudor, who heads up Deprogrammed Radio, would fare if he took this doctrine to his wife, Sally. I would buy a ticket to see that exchange, and I think it may wind up ambulance carting John off to a medical facility if he tried to enforce any of this. I think Sally would take care of him in quick order. And the thing that is really funny about this is Paul, you know, says these things and he gives a justification and he says, all this should happen due to the supernatural entities, or as the King James Version says, on the account of the angels, due to the supernatural entities. So here's what we've got. Sorry, my voice is cracking. Paul is saying, men, I use a little southern accent because I'm from the south of the U.S. Men, mark your women. Keep them fenced in so no supernatural entities come to have sex with her. Why? Because women are weak. Women need to be branded. Women need to be herded. Women need to be protected. Because like he told Timothy, women are weak, foolish, and silly. That's right. Paul said that to Timothy. Women are weak, foolish, and silly. Then he goes right over the top with it, and he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman was deceived and fell into transgression. So Paul sums it up by saying the entire original sin thing, which is a crock of dung anyway, saying that it's all the woman's fault. And Paul preached this to a city based on the divine feminine, a city that was a center of women's rights, and a city devoted to the goddess worship of Artemis. No wonder they rioted. The only thing that surprises me is that it took probably 2 years for these people to go after him, finally. I don't know why they waited 2 years. They must have been some high and very upstanding individuals. It's not a surprise to me that Ephesus rioted. But my real question is, why are there no riots today? Paul's teachings are the same today as they were in the days of Artemis and the Ephesians. If anything, they're stronger today. So back in AD 57-ish, the women of Artemis, the women of Ephesus, rioted against the misogynistic doctrines of Paul. The women of today doing the same thing. Shame on you, ladies. Where have all the strong women gone? Where are the women that say, right, I'm not giving you 1 second of my time. I'm not giving you $1 or 1 euro of my money while you continue to support, practice, believe, and teach these doctrines, or while you refuse to refute them. But see, ladies, they can't refute them because to do so would be to admit that their Bible is screwed up, tampered with, altered, jumbled. And only Jeffrey Darty is going to be saying stuff like that. So where are the strong women of today? Where are you? I almost said, where are y'all? But this basically goes out to Europe a lot, so I want to try to be a little less southern. Where are the strong women of today? And I have another question. Where are the men strong enough to stand up for their women? If the women won't stand up, where are the men strong enough to stand up for them? Let me help you out. Ladies, let me remind you who you are. Let me remind you who your mothers, wives, sisters, and daughters are. Ladies, if you didn't realize it, let me clue you into a fact. Ladies, you started religion. The first archaeological evidence of religion was about 33,000 BC. Individual skulls and long bones began appearing heavily stained with red ochre and buried separately. This practice is thought to be the origin of sacred relics, and the oldest discovered sacred relics are known as the Venus figurines and appear in graves. Joseph Campbell in The Power of Myth, which was a 1988 interview with Bill Moyers on the Bill Moyers Journal, I believe, Joseph Campbell links the image of the earth or mother goddess to symbols of fertility and reproduction. And listen to this, ladies. The mother goddess was the first object of human worship. The mother goddess was the first object of human worship. Ladies, you were the original focus of human worship. And in that same interview, Moyers points out that this reverence that in primitive societies directed the goddess figure, the great goddess, and the Mother Earth. The concept of Mother Earth, the Egyptian Mother Heavens, and the goddess Nut or Nut shows that this worship was worldwide. Ladies, the goddess was the first deity humans recognized. The goddess was the first deity humans worshipped. And not only some humans, part of the humans, but ladies, all the humans. Ladies, the whole planet worshiped you. Pause to let that sink in. The facts show that humans were originally polytheistic with heavy and dominant female ideology. Polytheism with a strong female presence was the norm across the planet for over 30,000 years. That's who you are, ladies. You are really, in essence, the origin of human spirituality. You are the origin of human worship. And you're the object of the original human worship. Ladies, the whole planet worshiped you. And let me remind you as well who you are today in Christianity. Most estimates I was able to find, this is who you ladies are in Christianity. Most estimates I was able to find in a rather exhaustive internet search states that females make up at least 60% of the total attendance in Christian churches. That's both Roman Catholic and Roman Protestant. Think of that. Females make up at least 60% of the total attendance in Christian churches, both Roman Catholic and Roman Protestant. The numbers are nearly the same in Judaism. Now, from my personal experience, those numbers are too low. And remember, for 20 years, I made my living as a Pentecostal evangelist. An evangelist goes from church to church to church to church, preaching, constantly preaching at different churches, constantly preaching at big meetings, statewide meetings, national meetings, going to different churches and different meetings, preaching. So I believe that I have an expert opinion on the composition of church congregations in the United States. For 20 years, I traveled from church to church all over the U.S., even around the world. And I would say from personal experience that the percentage of females to the entire church congregation, I'd say the percentage of attendance is much closer to 75% female. And I guarantee you that at offering time, there's a lot more purses that open up than billfolds. This means that 3/4 of the people that attend church are women. This means that 3/4 of the people that volunteer their time to churches are women. This means that 3/4 of the people that give money to churches are women. Ladies, not only are you the originators of human spirituality, not only were you the original object of human spirituality, ladies, today you are the Christian church, both in its Roman Catholic and its Roman Protestant manifestations. Without you, ladies, the churches are empty. Without you, ladies, the churches are broke. You have the power to change the church. You have the power to change the church right now. So let me ask you, ladies, why are you not storming cathedrals? Why are you not picketing churches right now? Why are you not demanding change? Or better yet, why aren't you just leaving? I have to ask a hard question. I mean, some of the most enlightened, some of the most spiritually aware people, ladies that I know, are still tied up with Christianity and won't say a bad thing about Christianity. I have to ask you a hard question. Do you secretly believe in your heart of hearts that Paul was right about you? Do you secretly believe that you really are weak? Do you secretly believe that you really should be silent? Do you secretly believe that it really might be all your fault? Ladies, I've got to ask you, what's going on? Is it possible that all of our females that are still in the churches, despite the crap that is said about you, not only do they talk bad about you, but they take your money, your time, and your efforts to build something that says you should be branded like cattle and shut your faces? I think you might be victims of spiritual Stockholm system, both individually, Stockholm syndrome, both individually and collectively. It's possible that 2,000 years of blame and oppression have caused you to internalize these lies. I can't figure out any other answer. I mean, right now, well, I guess I should say maybe you haven't known, but right now I'm telling you the truth. I'm making it aware, making you aware of what's going on. If you continue to do this, then I have no idea what's wrong with you. But I refuse to believe that you really believe this is true. And I have written in my notes, I refuse to believe that the men that love you believe this. But man, men are in a sad situation right now. We're in a sad sack. Most men are more worried about the NFL than they are about their spirituality. Most men are more worried about their 401k than they are about their spiritual ascension. And most men are more worried about what kind of car they drive than their families. That's just the truth. And don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. When you spend 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week, mister, at your job so you can afford the big house and the big cars and the big toys while your family never sees you, what do you call that? Your actions determine your priorities, so don't give me any crap, buddy. You may not like to hear it, but if you spend 80 hours a week at the office so you can have the biggest house, the biggest car, the biggest toys, then you're a hypocritical loser because you don't give a damn about your family. You care about your ego. That's just the way it is. You may not like it, but that's the way it is. Where'd that come from? You're the church, ladies. It's built on you. It's built on your attendance, your service, your money. And I believe that I got to get this out there even more. I believe that this message will awaken you from your slumber. You know who you are, ladies. And I don't think that once you know, you'll allow it to continue. I believe that this message can make the goddess arise. And you might slap the crap out of the men that supposedly love you. Ladies, you need to wake up. We need our mothers back. We need our goddesses back. And we need you back right now. We cannot make it as a species until you come back to your rightful place, ladies. We cannot collectively move up the levels of consciousness until you take your place again, ladies. A one-legged duck swims in a circle and never gets anywhere. And humanity, by and large right now, we're a one-legged duck swimming in a circle. We need a real women's liberation movement. We need a real uprising of goddesses. Now, don't get me wrong. The women's liberation movement has accomplished some great things. But I can't help wonder if it's not been a smokescreen to blind women and the men that love them to the real reforms that are needed. Over here in the U.S., we're entering into a presidential election season, which is a joke. And I tend to believe along the same lines that Mark Twain did when he said, if voting was really that important, they wouldn't allow us to do it. You may think that's cynical, but that's where I'm at. And remember, it was Joseph Stalin said, it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts them. Doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes. That's where we are. Regardless of what party you're affiliated with, it's great to see that there's at least two legitimate female candidates. Hillary Clinton, I won't make any jokes about her being female or not female. Carly Fiorina, and I know Elizabeth Warren has made some noise about it, but it's a great thing. It's highly possible. I mean, for the first time, it's possible that the nominees of both major parties could be women. I mean, if things happened in a weird way, you could have Carly Fiorina and Hillary Clinton. Of course, that's not going to happen, but it could happen. It's exciting, but it's really a distraction. Now, we could use a strong woman in the White House, but we really need one in your house. That's such a good line. I'm going to say it again. We could use a strong female in the White House, but we really need a strong female in your house. We could use a strong female at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, but we really need a strong female in your house. We could use a strong female at 10 Downing Street. I think that's the right address. But we really need a strong female in your house. You know, politicians in America have talked before about putting a new suit on every man in America. Put a strong woman in every house in America and you'll have a new man in every suit in America. Put a new woman in every house in Europe and you'll have a new man in every suit in Europe. We could use a strong woman at the pinnacles of political power, but we need strong women that have been to the mountaintop and have seen the other side. We need women who are tired of the abuse that's been heaped upon them for 2,000 years by the Christian church. Now, I'm going to get a little controversial here. What makes an abusive man stop hitting a woman? Well, there's only two things that I know of that make an abusive man stop hitting a woman. One, she walks away. Two, she puts a piece of lead behind his ear. Two things are guaranteed to keep a man, to stop a man from hitting a woman. One, her walking away. Two, her putting a bullet in his brain. Those are the only two things that guarantee that a man will stop beating a woman. And it's the same two things that guarantee the church will stop abusing you ladies. Number one, walk away. Stop showing up at Mass. Stop showing up at church. Let them feel your absence. Walk away. Number two, put a bullet in their brain. Stop paying your tithe. Stop giving your offering. What happened in Ephesus then can happen in the United States now. It can happen in the United Kingdom now. It can happen in South America, Central America, and across Europe and Africa. And I have to say these things because we're heard in all these places, and thankfully so. If women and the men that love them would stand up and say no more, we can win the same victory that was won in Ephesus, no doubt about it. We're fighting the same enemy. The same enemy is still Paul. But now it's just being pushed by his pathetic patsies that continue to promote his message of hate, control, and subjection. Still the same enemy, though. And we can still employ the same tactics for victory. This kind of lie dies when exposed to light. These vampires that are sucking the life out of humanity cannot stand the brightness of the truth. All we have to do is shine our light into the dark corners of orthodoxy, and the roaches will start running and the vampires will burst into flames. We got to raise our voices, we got to start some trouble, and we've got to do it publicly. And I'm the only one so far with the guts to do it, so I need you to help me do it more. We have to fill stadiums like they did in Ephesus with people that are sick and tired of the lies and the subjugation, with people that will say no more. And if you give me a little support, I can fill the stadiums. I've said before on my weekly show, if I can raise $10,000, I can get $100,000. And with $100,000, I can bring down personally, single-handedly myself, Roman Catholicism and Roman Protestantism. Jeff, are you asking for $10,000? Yes, I am. And there's somebody out there listening to me that could write me a $10,000 check. And I know there's 10 people out there that could write me $1,000 checks. And there's, if I got down to $100, my math is terrible, but you get my point. We cannot be quiet any longer. We cannot be respectful any longer. We must be loud and we must be public. We need to start a riot in every church and every cathedral possible. And if we do, we will win. I'll be back tomorrow to close out our week with Goddess Arise. Until then, listen to Cliff on the way out. He'll tell you where you can, pardon me, be in touch with me in the interim. But until tomorrow, I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, the Christian Whistleblower, and I am begging you to unindoctrinate yourself.
Stay connected with the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. On Facebook, follow Jeffrey Daugherty and Jeffrey Daugherty Show, and on Twitter at NC Kabbalah. Visit christianwhistleblower.com today to learn how to create yourself and to live the life you'll love.